Joining me is the DNR's Lisa Dugan. Thanks for joining me today, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
I cannot believe another year has passed, and here we are in beautiful Stillwater for the governor's fishing opener. Your thoughts when you heard that the opener was coming to Stillwater?
I think that Stillwater is such a great spot to be on the river. And, you know, if we're talking about places to go out, rivers are, they just offer something different than the lakes situations. It's a fun spot to be, a beautiful backdrop for people getting out on the water.
And speaking of getting out on the water, we'll talk a little bit, you know, about rivers as well. But when we look across Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, the ice out, I'm assuming, is out on hopefully all northern Minnesota, has cleared out. But what are we seeing on the lakes? Was it a good ice out? Water temperatures? What can folks expect?
Yeah. Well, and it is important to remember, as people are getting out on the water this weekend, that, you know, it hasn't been that long since we've had ice covering the lakes and the rivers, and that water is still dangerously cold. So just, you know, keeping safety top of mind. You put so much planning into your day going out on the water, from, you know, where you're going, who you're going with, the snacks you're going to bring. Safety should definitely be included in that plan.
All right. And when we talk about safety, obviously what comes top of mind to me is a life jacket.
Absolutely. There's so many reasons that, you know, factors that come into play how folks actually end up in the water. The two most common are trips and falls overboard and overloading boats. But the number one factor is that, you know, victims typically do not have their life jackets on. So what's, you know, the difference in that situation is either getting back into the boat, being able to get into the boat, having a life jacket on, you end up home at the end of the day.
And when we talk about life jackets, I've heard you say a couple of different times over the years, wear the one that you're going to wear that you like. What do you mean by that?
So, you know, there's so many different types of life jackets. So go out and find one that you like. You know, if it's an inflatable life jacket, if it's a belt pack, if it's a nice warm foam life jacket, or this time of year, a float coat would be great, because if it's still air temperature might be chilly, get a float coat. So find a life jacket that you enjoy wearing so that you do wear it. Like, oftentimes I'll be on the water, I have an inflatable on, and I forget that I have it on. I get in my vehicle, put on my seatbelt, and I realize I still have my life jacket on because it's so comfortable. So, you know, pick one that you like, and then, you know, don't just bring it with you, actually wear it.
You know, and that has to be frustrating for you, you know, doing what you do there at the DNR and being out on the water and seeing people with their life jacket, but it might be 5 feet from them or buckled around their chair. That life jacket in a moment like that can make all the difference, even if someone were going to throw something, correct?
Right, yeah. I mean, having them stowed away it's totally legal. You can do it as long as there's a life jacket for everybody on the boat. But to have them in a place that is, you know, relatively, you're not going to be able to reach it. Accidents happen so quickly. And being able to have it on when that happens, I mean, it really is just putting yourself in the best situation for when things go wrong. Nobody plans for, you know, bad things to happen on a fun day on the water, but they do. And so putting yourself in the best situation to, you know, again, make it home at the end of the day is the most important. So, you know, think about that. If you're stowing it away, if you're putting it on the back of the chair, give a couple like YouTube searches and you will see all of the incidents that happen, how quickly accidents happen, and, you know, hopefully learn from those stories so that it doesn't happen to you.
And one of the things that really surprised me that I've learned over the years is that when we think of someone that's in trouble or drowning, we're thinking of a big spectacle. It's rather fast and quiet.
Yeah, it's pretty silent. And that's exactly right. Like, you, any movie you watch where there's a drowning, it's somebody screaming, their arms are waving in the air, it's help, help, help. But really, truly, it is, drowning is so silent. It's, you know, things to look for is that it might just be like somebody's head bobbing on the very top of the water, or their like mouth just trying to like hold on to as much air as you can. So it can be silent. They're not going to be waving their arms typically. So just having somebody who's watching the water, if you have people that are, you know, jumping off the boats, they're swimming, or even in a pool, have a designated person who is watching those that are out there swimming.
All right. And when we talk about water temperatures right now, you talked about cold water shock and how that can hit you. What is a good temperature to begin safely going in the water?
Well, and so anything under 70 degrees is considered cold water. So right now, I think 50 degrees is probably around the metro area what you would see, which is still very cold water. And of course, the longer that you're in the water for those cold temperatures, the quicker hypothermia is going to set in. You know, a 70 degree water, maybe an hour in the water before hypothermia sets in. There's a lot of other factors that come into play. But still, when we have this really cold water, there's the cold water reflex. When you fall in, your body automatically gasps from that cold. And it's like working through that, being able to not panic. And again, that's where the life jacket comes in, because you're more likely to drown in those situations than you are to succumb to hypothermia.
And when we talk about, water safety incidents, what is kind of the leading cause for fatal water incidents?
So there's a few things. So again, it's those simple like trips and falls overboard that cause people to end up in the water. But it's, you know, not wearing your engine cutoff switch. That is another, you know, easy thing that people can do that prevents horrible, horrific tragedies. And then, of course, not drinking when you're out on the boat, having a designated driver. That's the thing, like, people are legally able to drink while you're boating, but having a designated operator or saving it till you're back on shore, not even, like, bringing alcohol out with you. Again, it's like goes into distracted driving. There's a lot of things going on. You kind of need your wits about you when you're operating a boat and taking responsibility for the people that are in there with you.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to add today, Lisa?
I hope that people enjoy their time out on the water. Wear your life jacket. Have fun. Get home at the end of the day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.